In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe, till the storm passes by. Many times old Satan whispered, there's no need to try, for there's no end of your sorrow, and there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. And when this old long night has ended, and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this old barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no
more. That's a good reason why. There we go. That's why you couldn't hear me. I hit the wrong button. So hopefully now you can hear okay, and we'll get everybody on here. And you should be able to hear just fine now. I'm hoping, Lord willing, anyway. Now you can hear. But I had that muted, I guess, to see. And anyway, for some reason, this is just not my day here. I keep getting things messed up here. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, it is what it is. I feel off today. Just because my schedule was so different and everything's so different right now and all that good stuff. So it's just like, man, what in the world am I doing? Anyway, I'll get it figured out here. And we'll get into the scriptures. How about we do that? We'll get into the Bible, and we'll learn about 18 ways that we are partakers with Christ. And we'll learn some things from the Bible here today that'll help you to grow. And that other one, we'll just leave that under current events, and we'll post that separately on Sermon Audio and on YouTube. It's there separate now. So we'll just do that, and we'll see what happens with those things. Anyway, but we'll keep going, hear what we're going to do today and all that fun stuff. So sorry about that. I think that all got messed up, but, anyway, let's get into the Bible. Let's get into the scriptures. How about we grow and learn from the Word of God? Ephesians. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. That word is an interesting word, partakers. I thought that was interesting. Started doing a little bit of studying on that. Let's look what it means to be a partaker. One who has or takes a part, share or portion in common with others. A participator, a partaker, an accomplice, an associate. So we are partakers with God. Now, when I say this, I mean, when I say we, I mean those that are saved by the grace of God. Those that are born again believers in Christ. Those that are born again by the Spirit of God. They are partakers with Christ. So this first verse talks about being a partaker, a participator, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. How are we partakers? By the gospel. We are partakers of God's promises by the gospel. By the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are partakers. We take part in, right? We have a portion with God. We have a portion of the promise in Christ. You and I, everything that we have as Christians, as believers in Christ, is because of Christ. It is by the gospel that we have those things, that we are made partakers. Those that stand on the outside are those that do not, they are not born again by the Spirit of God. They are not partakers with him. They are not partakers. They do not take part with God and with Christ. The only way you can is by the gospel. I explained that last night in my sermon that I was preaching on when I talked about Paul when he's preaching before the Sanhedrin, and I just gave a gospel exhortation in the middle of that sermon. And that gospel exhortation was for people to remember and to think about their own souls and to think about their walk with God, to think about the gospel of Jesus Christ. How you're not saved by going to church, whatever church it is. You are saved by the gospel. You're saved by Jesus Christ. The gospel is the only way that you can know God. So first and foremost, we know Christ. We know God through the gospel. We are fellow heirs, partakers of his promise. It is not by good works. It is not by seeking our own righteousness. Next, we are partakers of that one bread in communion with Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's an interesting There's 31 of those. We'll look at that word partaker a little bit more thoroughly here, but let's look at what the scriptures say. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So you and I, we are partakers when we have the Lord's Supper. If you're in a church and you observe the Lord's table, we are partakers. We are partakers of that one bread. That is an illustration or a picture of our relationship with Christ. The ordinances are a picture. They are a picture of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And none but who are saved and baptized ought to ever take part in communion, ought to ever take part in the Lord's Supper. They must be saved. They must be baptized. It's very important that people understand that. about partakers of spiritual things? Romans 15. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty also is to minister unto them in carnal things. We are partakers of spiritual things. Our walk with God is a spiritual walk. Paul talks about these spiritual things that we've learned, right? And we take part in those spiritual things. These things of the scriptures are spiritual. They are spiritually discerned things. They are things that we learn through the Spirit of God by being saved and by having God's Spirit within us. We are made partakers of spiritual things. The carnal man cannot understand these things. Neither can they know them. The Bible says, for these things are spiritually discerned. You know, before I was saved, you could read the Bible and it didn't make any sense. Some things didn't make any sense. And why is that? Because I did not have God's Spirit. So I could not be a partaker in those spiritual things. Why? Because I wasn't saved. I didn't have the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that makes us a partaker. People, they read the Bible, they say, I can't understand the King James Bible. Well, maybe you're not saved then. Maybe you don't have the Holy Ghost to guide you. Because we are when you're saved, when you have the Holy Spirit of God, you are a partaker in spiritual things. That's what the Bible teaches us. We take part in those things. By the way, we're warned not to be a partaker of the Lord's Supper and of the table of devils in 1 Corinthians 10, 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be the partaker. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's Supper, of the Lord's table, excuse me, and of the table of devils. God says you can't be part of both of those things. That's why you shouldn't be in communion or take the Lord's Supper with the table of devils or of Rome, Roman Catholicism. And teach those things that and partake in the Lord's Supper or their Mass, which is the table of devils. Or Jewish Kabbalism. Or say, well, I'm going to go worship with the Jews or the Orthodox Jews. No. That's not, you and I aren't supposed to do that. We're to be separated. We're to have a separation. There's to be a difference. There's to be a difference in those and in our walk and in our life. There's to be a separation in there. We're not to be partakers with them, with their table of devils. By the way, that's why I could never take communion with Roman Catholics at a funeral. I could never take communion with Lutherans who believe in substantiation or transubstantiation or different forms of that. I don't agree with them. They say the Spirit is in the host. No, it isn't. They are pictures. The Holy Ghost is in me, not in the wafer, not in the cookie God. I'm not taking communion with people that believe that. I wouldn't observe the Lord's Supper or any mock mass or anything that those people do. I'm not a partaker with them. Yeah, consubstantiation, sorry. Consubstantiation. I forgot about that. But I'm not a partaker with them. I don't agree with them. The Spirit is not in the host. The Spirit is not in there. The Spirit is in me. The Spirit of God is in me. And in you and in believers in Christ Jesus. By the way, you and I are to be partakers of the sufferings of Christ and of the consolation of Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse number 7. Let's go back to verse number 6. Let's read all of these verses here. I think they get gooder and gooder as we go, right? That's good English, right? Gooder and gooder. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Amen and amen and amen. I hope you know the God of all comfort. I sincerely hope you know who he is. I sincerely hope you've been saved by the God of all comfort. Because that's the one that's going to comfort you, is the Holy Ghost of God. When you're down in the deepest depths of and darkness that you can ever be in, it is the Comforter, the Holy Ghost whom you must seek. You must seek God's comfort, the way that God says you're to be comforted. Who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Amen. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings. Friend, if you're saved, and if you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you're going to be a partaker of the sufferings. But if you just go along to get along, if you're not willing to stand for anything, if you're not willing to be a Christian and to live as a Christian, well, you rewrite, you won't suffer much. It's all that will live godly in Christ Jesus that shall suffer persecution. If you're not going to live godly in Christ Jesus, well, you'll be just fine in this life. But you're a partaker of his sufferings. So shall you also be of the consolation. Amen. You might be a partaker of sufferings, but you will also be of the consolation from the Holy Ghost. How God comforts us. There's another verse that goes along with that. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse number 13. But rejoice. Well, let's back up. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Notice what it says here. Rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that his glory shall be revealed. You may be glad with exceeding joy. Right? I may be glad with exceeding joy. And why is that? Why may I be glad with exceeding joy? Because if I am a partaker of sufferings for Christ's sake, I shall also be for the consolation that will come and the glory that shall become in that kingdom. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Man, I'll tell you what. As we had some things happen on Saturday, and I'll talk about that more next week, but we had some things happen on Saturday. We had out there at that Pride event. Man, the devil and his crew was everywhere. We were surrounded. And 3 weeks before that, we had a Pride event where we had a police escort back to our vehicles. You saw that on video. We were totally abandoned by any earthly leader, any rulers, or any earthly governance, except by God Almighty, who protected us as we had sodomites chasing us down the road, attacking us, pulling our banners down and apart, stealing one of our banners. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But you know what? I didn't say anything in that event that I'm ashamed of. I didn't say anything out there that I'm ashamed of. I didn't do anything that I have reason to be ashamed of. My conscience is clear when it comes to that. I didn't provoke those people needlessly. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. So we ought not be ashamed. We are a partaker of Christ's sufferings, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. On Saturday, I had fellowship with his sufferings. I have in my ministry, by God's grace, had fellowship in his sufferings. I truly have. I have served the Lord by God's grace, and I have suffered. I am a partaker of that suffering. What God promised that I would be, yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We are partakers of the suffering and of the consolation. Amen. You know, you and I are commanded not to be partakers in darkness. Ephesians 5. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You and I are not to have any fellowship with the works of darkness. You and I are not to partake in those things. We are not to be a partaker in their darkness. We are to walk in the Spirit. We are to exercise. We are to have the fruit of the Spirit. We are to add to our faith those things. We are not to be a partaker with them. We were sometimes that way, but now we are not. We are children of the light, and we must walk as children of the light. You and I must live our lives as children of the light. We must not walk in darkness. We must walk in the light of the Lord. We are commanded to walk that way. We are not to be partakers in darkness. Let none of you suffer evil because of sin. We are not to be partakers of that, of darkness. We are partakers of grace, though. Philippians 1:7. Look at this. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. We are partakers of grace. You know what? Colossians 1:12. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Look at this. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen and amen and amen. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's us, friend. We are partakers. Look at that. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What does that mean? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Into his image, amen, into the image of God. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are not of darkness, but we are of the light. Walk ye in the light. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and is before all things, and by him all things consist. And yes, I'm getting excited, and you ought to get excited too. This is God's holy word. These are the promises that you and I have. These are the inheritance of the saints in light. I ain't talking about transgender Disney perverts. I'm talking about the Word of God, which dwells in you richly with all wisdom and knowledge and experience and faith and hope and charity. This is the power of God. This is what God does in the saints. This is the work of the Holy Spirit of God in his children to translate them from darkness and bring them into the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You were saved to be a God-fearing saint. You're not saved to live like hell. You're not saved to be like hell. You're saved to walk in the Spirit of Almighty God. That's why you were saved. The purpose of saving you was to take you from the kingdom of darkness and to put you in the kingdom of light. That's the purpose. That's why he saved you. That's what he saved you for. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the power of the atonement of Jesus Christ. The power of the Spirit of Almighty God. We are to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We have the power of the gospel. We have the power of the saints in light. That's what we have. That's who we are. Amen? That's who we are. That's the gospel that we preach. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, what a Savior. What a Savior we have. What a promise we have. What grace, what great grace that we have. That we have been given. To walk in Him. To live in Him. All right, so my chat just messed up again. So I'm going to have to switch over, which it doesn't really matter that much, but I'm going to have to switch over to this one right here, which it doesn't really matter. Let's see. Now, we're going to keep going, though. And hopefully it doesn't kick me out again, because for some reason it keeps deciding to kick me out of there. And I don't know what the deal is, but that's what it's doing for some odd reason. Anyway, but we're going to keep going. I'm going to keep preaching. Amen. All right. The partakers of the saints, the inheritance of the saints in light. Next, partakers of the benefit. 1 Timothy 6:2. Let as many as servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. What is the benefit? Christ, salvation, eternal life. That's the benefit. Eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the benefit. That you and I have that. That's our inheritance. That's the whole Christian walk. The whole Christian life. Amen. That's what it is. Partakers of the benefit. That's who we are. That's what we are, right? Amen. We are partakers of the benefit. Next, partakers of flesh and blood. Hebrews 2:14. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children of God, which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Amen. What is that saying? What that's saying is that you and I, Jesus came to be a partaker. Jesus came to be a partaker of flesh and blood. And he defeated death in the flesh. The Bible says, put to death in the flesh, but quickened with the Spirit. That's what happened. So then you and I, death does not defeat us. We are not in bondage to death. If you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and all your faith is in the atonement of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, then because he came as a man, he made himself a man. And because of that, because he made himself a man, he defeated death as a man, being fully God and fully man. So then he came that you and I would be redeemed. We are partakers of flesh and blood. You got this old flesh with you, and it's going to be with you until you're gone. You better learn to fight it. Let me tell you something right now. You better learn to fight that flesh. It is a reality that the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And you better buck up and realize that the fight is on, Christian soldier. And the greatest thing that you're ever going to fight ain't the guy down the street. It ain't the sodomite movement. It ain't the transgenders. It ain't Disney. It's the man right in the mirror. It's the woman right in the mirror. That's who it is. It's your flesh that you're going to battle and fight every day. To deny your flesh, to take up your cross, and to follow Christ is going to be the war that you have. I'm so sick and tired of people whining about everything else and not dealing with themselves. It ain't the devil out there. It ain't a bunch of devils out there. It ain't a bunch of devil possession out there. I'm sick and tired of hearing people blaming the devil for everything. You better walk with God. You better have communion with God. You better get a hold of God. You better let the word of God dwell in you richly. You better fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. It's your battle. It's your fight. God's given you everything and equipped you to fight it. Now it's time you stand up and fight it. You can blame everybody and their mother out there, or you can own your own depravity and sin, and you can answer to God and say, Lord, please help me. Give me the strength to fight this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And I'm going to tell you what, this preaching ain't that popular. I already know it ain't. It ain't going to get me 1,000 hits on YouTube and all that other stuff, but I really don't care. What I care about is God's people listening and learning and growing in the Lord. You want to tell you how you can fall? Let me tell you, you can fall just like I can fall. Let me show you how it is. For me, always looking at the transgenders, the sodomites, and hating everybody else's sin but my own sin. If you're going to hate sin, you better hate your sin more than you hate anybody else's. You better stop justifying your sin. You better start looking in the mirror and saying, you know what? It's me, oh Lord. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the hour of need. That's what's got to happen, friend. You could try to fight everything else you want to. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have to fight the man in the mirror. That's what you're going to have to fight. You're a partaker of flesh and blood, and you're going to deal with it until you go home. And that's why you got to walk in the spirit. You know what? It ain't the transgender and the sodomite I'm so worried about. It's the Christians not living for God, not walking with God, not putting down the flesh, not seeking communion with the Holy Ghost. But ready to make excuses and blame everybody else for everything that goes wrong in their life. You're a partaker of flesh and blood. You're going to deal with the flesh. That's why you're to abstain from all appearance of evil. That's why you're to walk circumspectly. That's why you're to have communion with the Holy Ghost. Next, we are partakers of the heavenly calling. Hebrews 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him also, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Wherefore, holy brethren, that's God's exhortation to you. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. You and I are partakers of the heavenly calling. We have been called into salvation into Jesus Christ. We have been called to a holy life. Wherefore, holy brethren, Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That means what you watch on the internet and the YouTubes and the inner tubes and all that other stuff, it better be holy. That means setting no unclean thing before your eyes. That means not watching pornography or movies or videos or listening to smut and wickedness. Because wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling? You're partakers of the heavenly calling. You have a duty and a responsibility to be holy. You have a command, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Why don't you consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus? You have a holy calling. You are holy. You're to be holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. You and I are partakers. We take part in that. We have a duty before God to live holy. Amen. We have a duty before God. So walk ye in him. That's the command of God. Amen. Next, we're partakers of Christ. By the way, I like this. Watch this. Hebrews 3:14. Look at this. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, we are made partakers. When you are saved by the grace of God, you are made, created in Christ Jesus. You are made partakers. For we are made partakers of Christ. By the way, it shows too, because there's a perseverance. I'm not shortchanging the scriptures to make any man feel comfortable. Do you believe in eternal security, preacher? I absolutely do. I also believe in the eternal preservation of the saints. And I believe it shows. I ain't one of those jokers that believe that some man says that he's saved and he goes off and he lives like hell and he never has any chastisement. He never has anything else and everybody's calling that man saved. I'm sorry, I don't believe that gospel. You never convinced me of that. When God breathes life in somebody, he gives them endurance. Now, they're not perfect on this side. But if you think I'm going to preach a gospel that does not include gospel endurance, I don't preach that. I can't preach that. Why? Because I don't live that. I live what the Word of God says by his grace. And I have endurance by his grace. Look what he says here. I'm a partaker of that. I'm a partaker of Christ. I have been made a partaker in Christ. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I was dead. I've been made alive in Christ Jesus. I am not dead. I am not walking around dead. I am not dead men's bones. I don't believe in a gospel that keeps a man dead in trespasses and sins. I'm not going to preach a gospel by God's grace that leaves a man dead in trespasses and sins. I am alive in Christ Jesus. I have been given life. I am not dead. And I don't believe in a gospel that makes you a partaker of death and not of life. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Yeah, there's some men that go a little ways with Christ. They go a little ways down the road with Christ. Man, they left Egypt. They start walking and marching out of Egypt, but look what God says about him. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom he swore that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They were not believers in Christ. They were consumed with unbelief. They didn't battle unbelief. They were consumed with unbelief because they were not believers. They did not persevere. Why? They were not partakers. They were not made partakers of Christ. Made, created, made partakers with Christ. Amen. That's Bible right there, friend. That's good Bible right there. That's the kind of stuff that'll keep you through the night. That's the kind of stuff that keeps a man from blowing his head off. That's the kind of stuff that keeps somebody from committing suicide. And by the way, be it friend or foe, don't ask me to preach something else because I can't do it. Partakers of Christ. Hey man, guess what? While we're partakers of Christ, we're also partakers of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 6:4. Look at this. Man, this is getting gooder, ain't it? Ain't this getting gooder? Huh? For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Stop. Think for a moment. Partakers of the Holy Ghost. My friend, we take part in the Holy Ghost. This is a verse on eternal security of the believer. It is not a verse that says you lose your salvation. It is a verse that says it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. You know what that is? You know what the powers of the world to come are? That's the earnest, the down payment. It is the Holy Ghost of God that is the down payment of our inheritance. The Spirit of God to comfort us. The Spirit of God to seal us under the day of redemption. The Spirit of God to fill us. The Spirit of God to give us the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. We are made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You can't take part in the Holy Ghost and then be lost. You understand? And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. For it is impossible. It is impossible, friend. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. It's impossible. What is that saying? It's impossible for God to lose one. It is impossible for God to lose one of his children. It is impossible for you to become unsunned. Yeah, I know, it's my own word. It's like gooder. It's my own word. It is impossible for you to become unsunned. Impossible. Amen. And by the way, you won't find anybody that preaches harder on sanctification and walking with the Lord and that. And I'm not bragging. What I'm saying is I'm not preaching you a compromising doctrine right here. I'm not messed up. I'm not preaching you it's okay for you to live like hell. I'm not preaching to you it's okay for you to walk in darkness. I'm not preaching any of that to you. we are partakers of the Holy Ghost. He's what keeps you. He's that endurance if they shall fall away. Yeah. God's people persevere. You really believe? Did you learn that from John Calvin in Geneva? Did you learn that in Geneva? No, I learned that from the King Jameser. That's where I learned that. I learned it what the Bible says very plainly. I know it by my own life. That God keeps his saints, that God preserves his saints. I know that by what the word of God says, just like he preserves his word, he preserves his saints. I know that by the endurance that God promises to give to his children. That's the promise of the Holy Ghost, right? Here it is right here. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelt with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. Amen. That's God's promise. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father. Unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. Amen. This is a promise of God right there, friend. It's a promise of God. The Holy Ghost. He does not leave us comfortless. He said, I will come unto you. That's a promise, friend. And let me tell you something. I know it by the word of God, and I also know it by experience. Because I have been in the darkest of dark, full of uncertainty, full of doubts and fears, blinded to all assurances of my salvation. But the Holy Ghost never left me. He never left me in despair. He never left me to sink so low that he would not raise me up again. Taken to the very gates and the depths of the gates of hell and brought back with strength and power and endurance. Amen. Man, this is way more fun than the first hour. I'm enjoying this. Man, am I enjoying this Bible study. I hope you're getting something out of this Bible study. I hope you're learning something. We are partakers of the Holy Ghost. By the way, with that partakers of the Holy Ghost, we're partakers of chastisement. Hebrews 12. I want you to look at this. Hebrews 12, verse 8. Well, let's back up here. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Bastards and not sons. I am no bastard. I have a father. I have a father. My father is in heaven. And along with the fact that I cannot be unsunned, I ain't getting away with nothing either. Because there is no one that has an eye like my father in heaven. I mean, as a child, you know full well, it seemed like your mother had eyes in the back of her head. Seemed like your mother had eyeballs in her fingers. She had ears when she slept. She could hear a bat poop in the woods 1,000 miles away. She had eyes that could see almost everything going to and fro in the earth, it seemed like. But nobody, nobody can see like God can see. And as a son, I have a father. Whereof all are partakers. Friend, if you are a child of God, you will not escape your father's rod. You will not escape chastisement. You will not get away with sinning. You will not be able to sin without punishment, chastening. You will not. If you think that you can minimize your sin, you will find out very quickly as a child of God. Like some people say, well, you know what? You could sin so much that, well, basically you could sin so much that God's just done with you and he just gives you over and you'll never be, you're going to go to hell. No. No, God's not some earthly father that can't control his child, that can't teach his child. See, you don't know the God that I know. You don't know the same God that I know. Because the God of the Bible that I know takes that rod and places it exactly where it needs to go, in the way it needs to go, with the perfect amount of pressure it needs to go with the perfect amount of correction that needs to come with it. Absolutely, flawlessly perfect. So your trials right now, Christian, that you're going through, and the chastening of that God is correcting you and teaching you, it is precisely exactly what you have need of. It is not a mistake. God hasn't forgotten where you're at. He knows exactly how much to give you perfectly. You are partaker of his chastisement, whereof all are partakers. None of God's children get away with sin. None of all God's children need growth. And part of that growth is the chastening of the Lord. Wow, it's 4:08 and I'm still going, and I'm not done yet either. I'll just keep going. I want to finish this. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Why does God chasten us? Well, along with sonship comes a rod. If God's adopted you into his family by faith in Jesus Christ, you also going to get the whoopings with it. Yes, you are going to get the whoopings with it. You are going to get them. Okay? You're not getting out of that. God's not like your mom and dad. Oh, now, I'll just let it go. No big deal. He's not like your grandpa that spoils you like that. No, 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 no. God is a loving, wise, and all-knowing Father, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. You don't get away with nothing. He knows everything. He sees everything. He understands everything. He is everywhere. And he is holy. And that combination means you're in some trouble. Now, you'll be the best child that God wants you to be as he continues to chasten you and teach you and you grow in the Lord. But you are not going to get away with anything. Anna Shell said, could losing a job be chastening? Yes, it could be. Absolutely, it could be. Absolutely. What else? That's right, Angie. Angie, I hope you're feeling better. I forgot to mention you in prayer. I prayed for you yesterday, but I forgot to mention you that you weren't feeling good. Forgive me for that. I forgot to do that yesterday. I just remembered that today, and I was like, you know what? I forgot that Angie wasn't feeling well. So I hope you're doing better, Angie, and we'll see you here, hopefully, Lord willing, on Sunday. But that's right. His correction is that way. His correction is righteous. It's not because you made God mad that he spanks you or that he chastens you. What's the reason for God's chastisement? Well, here it is. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. God chastens you for your profit. To make you better, to make you more like Christ. Why? He says it right here, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So you know how the United States federal government, in their perverse way, they're like, oh, I think I'll go drop some democracy on Iraq. I think I'll drop some democracy. Well, they do it in a super foolish way and in a wicked way. Well, God says, I'm going to drop some holiness on you. That's what God does to us in a righteous way. In a purely just and holy way, God says, I'm about ready to drop some holiness on you. You need it. I am going to drop my rod and partake, give you and make you a partaker of my holiness. Amen. That's what the rod does. See, along with having eternal security, right? I'm a son. I can't be unsunned. So I'm a son. It's a doctrine of the son, right? I'm a son. Then there's the doctrine of chastisement that I can't escape. I can't escape that. I'm going to get chastened of the Lord as his son. Because he adopted me, and adoption's permanent. Well, with that adoption comes the partaker of chastisement. God's going to drop some holiness on me. He's going to make me holy. Why? So I can be a partaker of his holiness. Do you see that? Not my holiness. Not my holiness. Not my righteousness. My righteousness. No. See, my righteousness will make me proud of who I am. Yeah. My righteousness will make me proud of who I am. That I'm living for God. That I'm doing pretty good. That'll make me proud. But when God drops the rod on you, he drops his holiness on you. Uh-huh. His holiness. He chastens you. His holiness. That's what that rod does. Mm-hmm. That's what it means to be a partaker of his holiness. You get the rod, you become holy. That's how it works. That's how it works. How's that work, preacher? Well, God says it right here. Yep, you're a son, and you're a partaker of his holiness, right? So let's back up. I have eternal security. Why? Because I'm a son. I have perseverance because I'm a son. He breathes life into me through the Holy Ghost. He gives me endurance to run. Because I'm a son, I get whooped. I get chastened of the Lord. And I'm a partaker of that chastening. And because I'm a son and a partaker of that chastening, I'm going to be a partaker of his holiness by him dropping the rod on me. And I'm a partaker of his holiness. And then he says, now no chastening of the present, for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When God's all done with it, when that in that particular case of that rod coming down on me, that partaker of that chastisement, that partaker of his holiness, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised. How were you exercised? He exercised that like a parent does out of your backside. You got some exercised righteousness on you when you were a child. Right? The rod exercised your backside. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's what God does. He spiritually, he exercises us thereby. And we become holy. We become a partaker of his holiness. God says, you're my son, and you're going to start acting like it. Did you hear me? You're my son, and you're going to start acting like it. And when you're not acting like my son, and you're acting like a belligerent fool, or you're acting wicked, or you're walking as a bastard, I'm going to remind you by dropping some holiness on you. I'm going to remind you whose son you are. Does that make sense? You get it? Uh-huh. Yep. And it don't feel good. It feels bad. But God said it would feel bad. It's not joyous. It's grievous. It hurts. And some of you are going through depressions and discouragements, and you're going through different types of things that God is allowing to happen to you, and different trials, and you don't feel very good about it. You're not supposed to. You're getting some holiness dropped on you. And you're going to be more like your Father in heaven. Because God says, you ain't going to run around like those bastards. You think you're going to run around like those bastards? You think you could talk like them? You think you could treat your wife and your children like them? You think you could treat your family and people around you and others like the world does? You're not a bastard. You're my son, and I'm going to show you how you're going to walk like me. You're going to be like your daddy. You're going to be like your Abba Father in heaven. You're not going to be like the world. You're not going to walk like they do. You're not going to act like they do. Amen. Mm-mm-mm. We are partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter. Look at this. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read the first four verses here. I'm going into overtime here. I'm almost done, though. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Oh. So we're partakers of the divine nature. God shows you that you have his spirit in you. God shows you that you have his spirit. that you're a partaker of the divine nature. That means God's Holy Ghost is in you, like was promised. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And then, because of that, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. You got to add to your faith then. Because you're a partaker. If you can add to your faith, it's because you're saved. It's because you have the Holy Ghost. That's why. I'm not the same Christian I was 20 years ago. Praise the Lord. God has grown me. God has chastened me. God has whooped me hard sometimes. And God has been merciful to me, gracious to me, patient with me, long-suffering with me, kind to me, loving to me, charitable to me, showed the utmost love for me. God has been good to me. Amen. Having escaped partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Mm-hmm. That's the divine nature given to you. That's why, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass. I don't have to look at pornography anymore. I don't have to. I don't have to drink booze anymore. I don't have to run around and carouse anymore. I don't have to do it. Why? Because I've been made a partaker of the divine nature. I'm not subject to my flesh anymore. I'm not subject to follow my flesh anymore. I can add to my faith by the grace of God, and I can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the only reason I can do that is because I have the divine nature in me. Because I've been saved by the grace of God. So I don't have to do those things anymore. I don't have to be subject to that. I'm not enslaved to that. I'm not enslaved to secret sins anymore. I'm not perfect, but I sure want to be. I don't have to do those things anymore. I don't have to be a filthy pervert anymore. I don't have to walk in the way of the world anymore. I don't have to live for cheap thrills. I don't have to take what the world offers me. Why? Because I'm a partaker of the divine nature. I have the Holy Ghost of God in me. I don't have to have that life anymore. I don't have to have the misery of that life. I don't have to be hooked on dope. I don't have to be a pervert anymore. I don't have to be a sex pervert anymore. I don't have to be any of those things. Why? Because I'm a partaker of the divine nature. By God's grace. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Lastly, number 18. We are not to be partakers of Babylon. Revelation 8. Oops, that's the wrong one. Let's see. Wrong one. Let me see. 18, sorry. 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. We're not to be partakers in Babylon's sins. As this whole world waxes worse and worse, as things get worse and worse, we're not to be a partaker. We're to come out of her. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Right? We're not to be a partaker of their evil deeds. By the way, you know what we're not to do? We're not to wish false prophets that are in Babylon. In 2 John 1:11, it says, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. We're not to bid those people that are false prophets that are teaching men wrong Godspeed or God bless them. We're not to do that. We're a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. In 1 Peter 5:1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. We are going to be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a promise. What a Savior. The Bible warns us to lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of other men's sins. By laying hands on them, like people out on the street, they want to lay hands on us. They want us to pray with them, and they want to do all that stuff, right? We're not to be a partaker of other men's sins. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to lay hands on people and have them lay hands on me and have people touch me like that. Why? What? I'm not going to be a partaker of other men's sins. Amen. So many more. Amen. So many more things that could be said about that, but those are the main ones. We have so many things that we're a partaker of, so many gifts that God has given us. Man, I hope this has been a blessing to you. I hope it's really been a blessing to your heart. I hope it's helped you. Share this with other people. 18 ways or so that we are partakers with Christ, that it be a blessing to others. Amen? That they're encouraged to walk with the Lord because of it. I don't know, the Lord just showed me this morning, just preach the Bible to them. Just preach the Bible. Give them the Word of God. Preach the Scriptures to them. Exhort them and help them to grow in the Lord. Amen? Well, God bless you all. I got to get off here, but listen, pray for us. I don't know when I'll be back on. I don't know if it'll be Monday, just because I have family in from out of town, and I won't be Monday for sure, but possibly Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday, maybe. Maybe I'll do a Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday broadcast this next week, but it won't be Monday because we have family in town that are visiting, Hannah's brother that we haven't seen for a long time. Definitely be spending time with them. You pray for us, pray for our ministry, pray the Lord would continue to bless us and provide for our needs. God has been good to us, and you just pray about that. Pray about what the Lord would have you to, if he would have you to give to our ministry. You know, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. If you never give anything, you're still my friend, and that doesn't change anything, because God always provides, and I appreciate your prayers above all. And if the Lord doesn't lead you to do that, that's fine, or you can't do it, that's fine too. Don't worry about it. But we do Apple Pay and all kinds of other things. People give me cryptocurrency and all kinds of things. Hey, one time somebody sent me a bunch of canned food from their garden. Wasn't that a blessing? Anyway, we thank the Lord for his goodness and his protection over us. By the way, those sermons on homosexuality, those sermons did quite well. Those PowerPoints, what the Old Testament says about the LGBTQ, those did really well. You know, what the New Testament says is the newest one that I put up there. What the New Testament says about the LGBTQ, right? Anyway, and somebody sent me deodorant. I guess they thought I stunk. I don't know. They sent me 3 bottles of Right Guard. Like, man, I think they're making a point. I better put some on. But anyway, God bless you all. You take care. And I got to get to praying. I got to go for a walk and do some praying and figure out what I'm preaching this weekend. I don't even know yet what I'm preaching this weekend. So, Lord willing, I'll figure that out. The Lord will show me. But I'm thinking, okay, so you pray about this. I'm thinking about concluding my little series on when I talked about Sodom and Gomorrah, the spirit of the LGBTQ. I thought about preaching on the evidence and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and showing some showing through the Bible the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and also showing a PowerPoint on the evidence of Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction. So anyway, I don't know if I'll have time to do that or not. I'd have to really get to work on Friday and maybe Saturday morning and really work like gangbusters to get it finished. I would like to get back to Baptist history sometime soon. I've been off of that for a while. I've been teaching the kids a few things and doing a few different things. So I'm not sure, but we'll see what the Lord does. But anyway, God bless you all. You take care. And Lord willing, we'll be back on here next week sometime. I could do never know, there might be a truck talk or something. Who knows what'll happen. But anyway, you all hang in there. God bless you. And we'll talk to you real soon.